could you speech recognition? If you got a transcript.
I think that's the next step, probably.
I wanted to do the other way around, as a matter of fact. I mean, I wanted, you know, do some walking, but at the same time, I wanted listening to something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I thought there was a solution of some sort, but I don't know. It's like...
That's exactly what my wife works on, you know.
Is that right?
Text-to-speech, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So you have text. And
do we have good solutions these days that the AI TDF, I say, go for audio and...
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's like a little tool. I mean, these voices are huge and things like that.
Right,
you
know, yeah.
Enormous files, actually.
They work with.
But, you know, there's all kinds of... Well, I mean, they can do it in all different sizes because they have a lot of contracts with car companies.
That's right, yeah. Or the GPS.
Speech and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, none of that
is relevant
at the moment.
Sorry. So Jeff, you were at the meeting. How do you think?
Right, well, yeah. So, I mean, huge group and all of that, so it's sort of, I mean, kind of unwieldy to do much of anything in terms of that sort of a setting. I mean, it's difficult to talk. And, of course, just on the phone. Yeah, what did I have to say? I guess so. I'm not so sure. I mean, whether I fit into this at all, actually. I mean, you know, maybe I could, but with respect to this trust idea, the sense that I got, sort of the consensus of the people there was sort of they weren't so interested in trust necessarily. I mean, at least, you know, obviously the group might be pushed in different directions and so on, but in terms of their natural inclination was that really this is all, to them, all about communication infrastructure and very interested in the modeling and simulation because you have, you know, gigantic networks that you're imagining that are going to be field deployed and you're of wireless things and so on, and you're trying to get a sense of how this would really work in practice, and so you'd like to be able to do some really large-scale simulation of that. And I guess the sense that I got about, you know, what people wanted in terms of, well, okay, they seem to view the kind of trust issues as more belonging to this different center, the information networks.
That's true, yeah. It's not really the. So they are focusing on the trust. Do you have the call?
Yeah, I mean, of course, this is all incredibly complicated, and so I'm not sure how up on all of this overall structure you are, Raju.
Well, I think
the idea that there are four different centers.
Right.
And there was a fair amount of discussion, actually, in the phone call of this overall structure.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
I did read the call, basically, a couple of weeks back.
Right. So, I guess, sort of the way people were seeing it is that you have, at the top, the, you know, SCNARC, right? Everything is acronym.
Yeah.
ARC is Academic Research Center. Yeah, okay. So the SCN, Social Cognitive Networks.
Right.
So that somehow is at the top, the human beings or something
interacting
with all of this.
Human beings interacting with the machines.
That's right.
That's
human networks, you know.
Yeah.
And then...
Networks, but which flow through the electronic networks.
That's the way there are three kinds of networks. So this is a networking center, right? So the networking research, NS stands for, I can't remember.
Network science. Yeah.
And so the idea, I guess this is, they have done this before. And the idea is the CTA, not the CTA, the Army Research Lab, and they're going to set up these research centers with the universities. Previously, they said at their Aberdeen pooling around, surrounding areas. So they have much more restriction in terms of the physical locality of the sensor itself. And now they are sort of being a little bit sort of towards a sort of remote organization. You can, have a sort of virtual center being set up and consisting of many universities. And the only requirement, however, is to probably put 2-3 postdocs at the physical center, actually managed by this IRC, the Integration Research Center.
Now, the Integration Research Center is not going to be Lucent.
Everything is up, tossed up. Who knows who will actually going to lead? But the Army Research Center is going to take sort of a chair table among all the proposals. So each proposal needs to address only one of the four possible centers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's four, right? So the IRC or IRC, I guess that's what it is. The Integration Research Center is typically by those, research companies, those doing management, industrial
contracting.
The contracting. And they manage all the logistics and some of the sort of central setup really at the Aberdeen Proving Ground and be able to sort of basically do circulations, have people circulate and do integration, that sort of thing. So that's what that IRC, my understanding is. And then there are three set of networks, right? So that's what Jeff's been talking about.
So the IRC, this whole idea of integration or something, which to me, when they say that, it's not really stunningly obvious what exactly that means. But I think what it's all about is trying to put things together and sort of concerned about people sort of fragmenting off into little research areas and not really communicating so much. And so they're sort of trying there, I think, to take a big picture, a global picture, and bringing things together, making sure that somehow each center is aware of important concerns of other centers, and I think trying also to do sort of the technology transfer kinds of things and actual development efforts and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but clearly they're giving a lot of emphasis to that center. So that's there, and that's not, so that sort of is a separate, oversight kind of group. And so then there's the three network centers. And so, so there's the SCN one, which is, as I said, Social and Cognitive Networks.
Yep.
Then somehow under that, at least apparently under that, is Information Networks.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be things like the World Wide Web or something like that, and these kind of ideas like PageRank or something like that, somehow those kinds of knowledge management, self-organizing systems, secure information flows and information networks.
It seems to me that's the
SCN, which is a social
and cognitive
network, is a center. That would
that's
be
right.
A
that
center.
Is a center,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the ICN is also a center.
The IRC.
IRC.
IRC
is sort of
research.
The one.
No, no, the underneath the...
INARC, yeah. Everything, all of the other three end with ARC for Academic Research Center. Yes.
One is the Information Network, one is the Social Cognitive Network.
And that is the one that our group is applying for?
No, we are going after the communication networks. So obviously the majority of people actually doing networking research and doing, more specifically doing wireless. And they do wireless, and one of the key issues that we read the call carefully, so they have, allocate 20% for this, 20% for that. So there is some kind of distribution of money, sort of a targeting specific agenda items, such as trust. So trust is one of the...
Trust is something that...
It's a sort of overall, all the centers need to address. And then, that accounts for 20% of the total budget. and then another 20% for cross-cutting. So they just need to say, I do something about the social network, cognitive network. I do something about the information networks.
So when you say I do something, does a single center need to
address that?
Each center has some cross-cutting research.
Okay. So there is some
trust and something else
that
each center is supposed to come up with.
Okay. So although your focus is communication networks, and you're proposing to build a center around communication networks, you need to address trust and some additional cross-cutting issue. Okay.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in terms of the team, the constitution, which is pull out the email from Sheet, that will basically get us to know all the players here. So last meeting we talked about the competitors.
Mm-hmm.
There are
right.
strong competitors
yeah.
out there. So the University of Minnesota, they have I'm not sure what exactly the theme they're going after. They mentioned that, but I sort of skipped that because
yeah.
I didn't actually catch what was that.
Right. There was quite a lot of talk of that kind at this phone meeting.
Yeah, because those are really heavyweight people in including the one that we talked about, the UIUC team, and I haven't heard hear from my advisor, and they were still doing a strong team, but they are really sort of on the modeling side of it, sort of really down closely, metropolitan people's.
Right, but there will be only one communication network center.
That's right, there are only one.
Yeah.
So, but they are all targeting that. So that's our direct competitors. And so that's why we spent a lot of time last meeting trying to sort of roll out a specific theme, specific sort of storyline or something that we can really say these are our strong expertise in rather than sort of collide with others. Because it seems to us that according to the conversations with Chris Garofers and Dave Bauer, and they've been onto this since the very beginning, and they'll have the discussions with the program manager and in charge of this particular project, and they talk about the several issues. One of the few things that came up, one was the limitations in terms of priorities, simulation, the capabilities, and also the sort of the accuracy that can be provided, and also sort of they want to make this army wants to make this sort of open source kind of university research kind of a research kind of a type of tool. The other that came out was in any case. So if you read you read the lean of this proposal, they talk about other facilities at ARC. Or not ARC, the Army Research Lab, ARL, and they talk about the capabilities they have, a very interesting one. So they are, very heavily interested in simulation development, simulation
mm-hmm.
tools. They're interested in wireless, sort of more specific than the wireless mm-hmm. part of it. They're very interested in the emulation part of it, and of course they're mm-hmm. worrying about all these trustworthiness of these simulation modeling tools. And so gathered from that sort of discussion, so that sort of we started, look for members. So that's these people started coming in. NYU Poly, we said, started coming in.
NYU Poly.
Yeah, so the Polytechnic University of New York,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Right.
So they have a very strong center, a bunch of people, pretty strong people. You can think of, I can find textbooks by one of those, those guys, Max writing pretty good, pretty famous books.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really good researchers out there. So they are really strong in the trust part. Also pretty strong, they have some kind of a security related, not really trust, so I don't want to misuse the word too much. And also they have very strong wireless people. to wireless modeling, propagation, those sort of things, and design, algorithm design.
Okay.
So gather from all these sort of discussions that we have, sort of a mixed match. It seems that, you know, one storyline seems to pop up. One of the storyline seems that, you know, we kind of focus on simulation, animation, modeling, and evolve upon that. We're going to do, you know, trust things, algorithmic research, and sort of, you know, something tangible, immediate, and the long-term theoretical as well. And so sort of evolve from that. And so that's why, so they identify quite a few areas, that's including the email. I probably just want to mention a very brief thing here. So they talk about teams. So the volunteers that I meet and send, so there is a simulation team. So RTI and us will be on the simulation team.
There's RTI, you mean?
Yeah, the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Oh,
sorry,
RTI.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So
RTI is also part of this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So Chris Carothers and Bolek, and they're doing sensor model work. They're doing large scale simulations.
These are people that you already know.
Yeah.
These
are
from before
in my community.
Okay.
Know each other quite well. So that's from the simulation team, and there's a trust team, and Jeff, you're listening to that trust team, and also there's an ad hoc network traffic modeling team, and there's some application design, so that's probably dealing with information networking from sort of video, on-demand, multicast, whatever, those sort of things. And they also talk about the cooperative networking team. It seems to be a bit of an idea about, you know, cooperative, because she, I know he has a project in that, and he has a host job in that.
Cool. So we are, it seems like we are addressing at least the trust part, and the other part, which is the cross-cutting, which
right,
yeah,
cross-cutting
is going to address
it's there's several storylines. So what we can do is say, here's a tool. You can use it for information network, you know, modeling. Every time I do that as well. There is a some kind of information network, some kind of cognitive social network modeling, probably you know, modeling social networks. So that's the connection. And the advantage for our part is, we don't need to do a lot of work. It seems to me that the poly, they are going to lead. They have significant mass. On the other hand, we're still in the core team.
Mm-hmm.
So they need simulation emulation tools.
Mm-hmm.
They need to shell out money for the minority institution, 10%. No, 60%. 10% is actually just the earmarked.
Yeah.
So I guess in that respect, that's why it seems to be, you know, interesting, because we have, they can just say, oh, you guys are not doing enough work. That's, you know, 2-3%. There should be. They can't. They have to. And we are the only minority institution so far sort of involved in this project. And the amount of work is so I talked to Raju. So we are doing this emulation. That part can be sort of, we can expand that into sort of a large scale of wireless oriented networking emulation, simulation modeling part. And we could also ask for some instrumentation, machines for that as well. And Jeff, you can ask for, you know, whatever the research that you will be interested in. Hopefully the tricky part is to weave that into the whole storyline.
Yeah.
And as long as we were there, and that will be, seems to be a...
Right. So I guess our current immediate target is this nugget, right?
Right. Yeah.
There were two formats that they said were okay. One was the nugget, and the other one was a 5-page or something like
right.
that.
Right. So we need to decide what we're going to give to them. I guess what we could do, I mean, I don't think, as long as we can sort of make it more concrete about the ideas, so that they will, you know, with that idea, we can't shift too much. You know,
right.
we can obviously make changes, but you know, we need to sort of have a storyline just among ourselves that what we're going to do, how we're going to chip in the project.
Right.
And that's.
So what is the level of detail that they're looking for at this point? Or?
I think from the guy who's actually organizing this, they need to have, you know, take all the pieces from it, because this is such a large team. I'm not really envy the guy in that position and trying to put together all these
something coherent
and have a story and something pop out, and you have to have a sort of elevator talk or somehow that this is all the constituents of the project and everything. So the idea is actually come up with a nugget so that we know, tell them, this is what we can do. So we could chip in, we can do this research, we can do that research, and this is all the instruments we'd like to know. So this is basically at a very high level, and the guy will make a decision saying, oh, this is good, you know, we can actually be into that, you know, global picture. You guys can, you know, work on it for, you know, 4 or 5 pages,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
So the 4 or 5 pages has to be 2 separate.
They said, well, you can provide that right away, but I really don't see much of a point unless we are a really large team to have a lot to say,
mm-hmm.
at this point to really put everything. I mean, I would tell them, I would, you know, easily make 4 or 5 pages, so it's not a big deal. But I guess it's more helpful to just say, what are we going to do, bulletize, what are we going to do, and put some explanation so that they understand what we are going to do.
It seems based on the list of teams that Shiv has listed there, is that there is one team for the simulation part which would have its own story, and then another team where Jeff is involved for the trust part which would have a somewhat independent story than what we'll be telling for the simulation work, right?
It's gonna, for example, maybe use Simulator to do some validation, or so you have to make a consistent story. You can't say just, you know, everything is piecewise, and I guess that in the end it's very difficult to come up with a. But I guess at this point maybe we can just provide, you know, what can we offer, and then we decide or you know, through the discussion. I guess next Wednesday's full meeting is gonna be that, because that's after the deadline, if I remember that correctly. And January 12th for the write-up. So 12th, Monday.
Yeah.
So Monday, and then Wednesday we're setting up the meeting. So that obviously that's probably just talk about exactly sort of making more complicated.
So should we think of this writing task as just listing up all the possibilities and see, you know, once we have a meeting, then it would be more clear which of the various suggestions work best with what the other people are proposing, or we just say, okay, here's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to write about in the proposal. So, or
we can say these are the things we like to do, but you know, these are the additional things that we could see ourselves doing with others, or you know, whatever. One way or the other, right?
Yeah. Jeff, what is your opinion?
So, yeah, I mean, I don't really know how a group this large, how do you ever sort of come to a coherent consensus? It seems very difficult. But, so, I mean, of course, you have the call, what the call is interested in. So with respect to trust, I mean, I what I wanted to say was the sense that I got from the group is that what sort of people have in mind is basically the idea that there would be, in implementations, there would be some, you know, algorithms being used to somehow manage trust of data that's flowing around these networks. And, you know, and I guess it's important to I mean, there's this sort of specific military context which is being emphasized throughout, that you've got, you know, soldiers in a battlefield. And, you know, there was discussion about, you know, this idea of you have one commander trying to transmit information to lots of soldiers, so that it's going to be this sort of bursty multicast model, things like that.
Right. Yeah.
And
I guess to some extent there's the applicability part that people need to really think about how this can be sort of a rollout in some kind of immediate sort of short-term results and validations. On the other hand, I remember Chris mentioned this in the email. This is going to be a 10-year budget that I have to come up with.
Right.
And it has to be a short-term, sort of a maybe mid-term and long-term, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and also in the call, they talk about specific about the fundamental theoretical.
That's true, right?
So it's just a matter of how to weave into
I didn't get into the trust part so much. So I think that the sense of the group sort of seemed to be that, you know, what this communication network center is all about is sort of the underlying communication networks. And to me, at least what a lot of people seem to be saying is that, well, there's going to be some kind of mechanisms used by the higher levels to manage trust somehow. And sort of we just need to be concerned with what kind of performance implications there would be at the communications level if you're passing around this trust information or something. Data is tagged with trust somehow. That seemed to be sort of the inclination, at least, of much of the group in the phone call.
You're thinking about the sort of information theory point of view, whether there are sort of immediate applications there.
What I can say is that you can certainly argue about trust of information flowing on the network, but in the end, when humans interact with the information, they cannot directly tap into networks. They have to go through some sort of a host, right? And which makes the information or stores the information, protects the information. You have an application that allows you to access the information. And the trust has to be end-to-end, which is that there is also needs to be a trust component in the host or the various servers that store the information on the network or before it is presented or accessed by a human being. So I do see that your work would address to some extent, especially if data is tagged with trust and so on, then you could argue about secure information flow. And so that the trust does not get violated upon receipt at a host or a server. So I do see a connection there.
Or maybe on the wireless side as well, because that seems to me that is a sort of a specific characteristic. I mean, it's broadcast medium or there's some aspects of that secure aspects in terms of the information leak. Right, because that's what you know the army would be very interested in, how secure their command and control line going to be, that their command and control line is mostly to wireless
domains.
And in terms of that analyzing the properties, the security trust properties in the wireless domain, I think there might be something there as well.
Possibly, but the way I understand Jeff's work in the trust is more to do with language-based security and secure information flow inside programs.
That's right, yes.
And
so
rather than over networks, and that's why I was trying to connect the so you can say there is a delivery mechanism
for information, and then there is a presentation mechanism for information, a storage mechanism for information, and you need to address trust in all these components if you want to have total trust. And so I guess you can talk about trust at the endpoints, you know, the trust of, on the application that handles the information and presents it to the user of the information, the human being, and those sort of issues are, I think, at least as important as information flowing on the network.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I would say is actually that my emphasis is more on confidentiality. Throw out something I said to you. I mean, actually, people throw around the word trust tremendously loosely, and, you know, what do you mean by trust? And actually, I mean, I would say trust is not even the right word. I mean, I may trust something that's completely untrustworthy, you know. And trust really is about what do you make yourself vulnerable to. If you choose to trust something, then you're saying that, you know, I'll let this thing destroy me because I'm willing to give it my trust. Whereas if you don't trust something, then you're saying, I'm not going to let it hurt me because I'm mistrustful of it. So, anyway, I mean, there's certainly two major facets with respect to information. And so one is confidentiality, the concern about information falling into the wrong hands. But then there's also the integrity part of saying, is information reliable, the information that you're seeing? And certainly based on the call, there's a greater emphasis actually on the reliability side of things. So somehow a soldier there in the field wants to know what's going on and doesn't want to be fooled somehow. So confidentiality is going to be another issue as well, but I think probably their feeling is more like, well, we use cryptography to ensure confidentiality of information. So when we're broadcasting things wirelessly, we do some appropriate encryption so that only the right people can see the information. But I guess more the worry is, you know, in a combat situation, you imagine, you know, some group of soldiers get overrun by enemies, and then those enemies start broadcasting misinformation. And how do you know that it's misinformation? And this sort of thing just leaves me flustered because I just feel like, well, this is, you know, impossible. And of course, you know, in real battles, obviously, all sorts of blunders happen. You know, friendly fire incidents and all this kind of thing. These really do happen. And so you're not striving for perfection exactly here. You know, you're trying to make things better or something like that. So sort of the specific research that I'm doing, I mean, it's in these very carefully defined sort of mathematical domains somehow. And when you go to this whole real world thing of, you know, wireless networks in the Iraq desert, suicide bombers, and, you know, how does all of this that would come out there. But I don't know. I mean, I guess on the other hand, having some understanding about information flow and it certainly is true that, you know, encryption is not the whole story as far as confidentiality because anybody who can decrypt has the information and can blab it all over the place. So the question is what kind of possible controls are there?
So in terms of the setting, when there is an allocation of 20% towards the cross-cutting, obviously there is going to be some social network aspect.
Right.
That's directly related to confidentiality, directly related to, you know, all these trust issues.
Right.
And doesn't have to be the network flow. I mean, that's what I see the opportunity. I was thinking, I mean, without thinking very carefully, of course, but I was thinking that there is, obviously, the army, they don't know
right.
how to come up with it. They think, oh, there are three networks, and they all have nice names. Let's set up three, because they have all
yeah.
seems to be very interesting research. So they set up three. I say, oh, that's not going to solve everything. Let's put them all together, so integration. And but they don't know what's going to come out
that's
from the integration.
Right. Sure.
Right, so it's completely, I think it's just at the conceptual level or even pre-conceptual level that they're thinking that, you know, all these three networks should be sort of in some sort of a collaboration and be able to support each other. And but they are very vague in defining those
yeah.
terms. The only thing
yeah.
they say that we don't know. We don't know
yeah,
what's
I mean,
come out from it.
Yeah, some things that came up in the meeting that I wanted to sort of throw out. I mean, these were somehow, yeah, things that the Army is worrying about, sort of ideas. And so things like limits of human observer, information overload, delivered needed information, not necessarily requested information, things like that. So you imagine, right, people in stressful situations, and you don't just want to say, well, we give you access to these gigantic databases. I mean, you sort of want to tell the person what they really need to know and not what they necessarily think they need to know. But
these are so application specific that...
That's right, yeah. How can one say something fundamental about
yeah.
that? I don't know. Well, so in fact, I mean, in these three levels, I think... Right, so in the information networks level, I mean, I think... You know, it's ideas, certain kinds of like data mining sorts of ideas or ideas that there's, you know, there's a lot about these things that I find sort of mysterious where you talk about, let me see, I took notes about this. Yes. Data to information to knowledge to understanding, these levels. You start with data and it gets turned into information, and information gets turned into knowledge. Knowledge gets turned into understanding.
I heard this from the Beacon project here.
Anyway, well, I sort of glaze over when I get things like that. But you know, but I guess
I can see data to information. Beyond that, I cannot see. That's like
yeah. Well, I don't know. Right.
I'll go do some data mining and you can do some of those.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, but I don't know, right? So certainly in the information networks, right? I mean, you know, in a sense, you know, things like Google and all that. I mean, what it's all about is that actually the very structure of the network can embody useful information, and so. You know, there's useful information to be gotten from that. And then at the social level, well, there's ideas of reputation and things like that. And
so Jeff, I have a question. So in terms of the work you're doing, and sort of try to understand. So you try to quantify the leak of information or untrustworthy, I mean,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah,
have,
that's right.
You know,
well,
I'm mixing up all the terms, but I'm trying.
Sure,
to
yes. Well, right. So, yeah, so for me, the main focus has been on confidentiality more than integrity. And, yeah, and basically, I mean, to say just a couple of sentences, I mean, for a long time, what I've been working on is static analyses that prevent any information from leaking at all. So you have a program and it's manipulating some sensitive data and it's producing some public outputs, and you want to make sure that no information at all leaks into the public outputs, no sensitive information.
Or putting another way, you can quantify the.
Well, okay. So, in the traditional work, the quantification is zero. You say no information, no sensitive information is being leaked at all, and so the thing that I'm turning my attention to now more recently is the quantitative side, where you're saying, well, in practice, you really can't get away with leaking nothing at all. You want to somehow allow small leaks of information.
Right.
And so then, I mean, really the main focus so far has been actually the underlying mathematical foundations of saying, how do you measure how much information is leaking?
But is there a way, I guess I'm just, you know, trying to turn into the more specific application part of it. Is there a way to, so because the Army is looking at the whole structure, so they are looking at the command control infrastructure and say, we're going to do this here, we're going to do this there, we're going to do that there, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we are the guys that actually provide, you know, the simulation modeling side of it instead of really deploying the armies, right? So basically that's what, the, you know, the kind of things we want to offer. On the other hand, the Army wants to know about all these non-carry issues, the specifically the confidentiality issues. That's still one of the issues, but can you sort of be able to apply? I have that
GPS.
Yeah.
It powers a little unreliable.
I can't see the weather, so I have no idea what's going on. But I guess I'm just thinking that, you know, is there any sort of direct, it doesn't have to be really getting down to the information flow, it's sort of like the data flow, specifically.
Uh-huh.
So data flow and the technology related data flow, but in terms of analyzing sort of the confidentiality aspect or security aspect of the infrastructure and sort of put some kind of analysis, because you can do that. We could sort of, you know, sort of spin the line and say, look, you know, we could, you know, do some, you know, provide you with a sort of virtual scenario where these things can really roll out. This is how we view there is a number in terms of the trustworthiness or confidentiality of these, and be able to sort of say something about that aspect. And that seems to be, you know,
right. So. Yeah, so that certainly is the goal, is to develop tools that would let you do static analysis of code to say something about whether the code satisfies, you know, specified policies about information flow. But certainly on the quantitative side, I mean, that doesn't really exist yet. I mean, that's something that I'm...
Why only code? Why not just, you know, why limit it to code? I mean, I'm trying to sort of understand the operational side of it. Why the, yeah, it was your talk.
Uh-huh.
And I could understand maybe 30% of it at most. But I'm trying to sort of wrap my mind sort of around and see, you know, why is the limitations on the coding structure in terms of the information rather than sort of can you sort of apply it as sort of communication, because it seems to me the communication really causing the exchange of messages,
right.
That's basically at the high level view that how these actually can be, you know, it's the same thing as the program, right?
Yeah, if you like, I mean, well, okay, so right, I mean, well, one can certainly take a model of a communication channel and talk about, you know, information leakage associated with the communication channel.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it has to have some precise specification of the channel as, I mean, for me, typically it would be some probability matrix, actually, talking about, for given inputs, what would be the probability distribution on outputs of this communication channel.
Well, that's achievable in terms of and the simulation side of it.
Right.
You know, it's not completely make up, you know, numbers, you know, in the matrix, but rather, you know, there could be sort of empirical kind of a distributions that might be, you know, assist the that part and apply some of what you said that in estimate and then sort of provide some feedback, maybe, you know, sort of. I was thinking about how the Army would be very interested in this.
Right. So, yeah,
I just wanted to, you know, give you what you said earlier, the difference between confidentiality and
integrity.
Trust.
Yeah.
And, yeah, integrity.
Yeah, which, well, maybe people use trust. Certainly, when you talk about whether information is trustworthy, that seems to be integrity.
Yeah. So, and you were saying that it seems that the other folks in this group, this team, are looking at integrity issues rather than the confidentiality issues and your research address is purely confidentiality.
Right? Well, I don't know about purely, but that's there. I have more of a handle on what one can say about it. And with on the integrity side, I mean, information flow does seem relevant there because there's this idea of taint analysis. If you have tainted information, can the tainted information contaminate other information?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of about this infecting of things. With
mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's...
So that would be...
Yeah, well, so that certainly is a reasonable thing that one can do. I mean, you have sources of information, and if you regard some as trusted and some as untrusted, then as the information flows around, then you can talk about information as untrusted if somehow untrusted information was able to flow into it, something like that. But of course, on the... Yeah, so at that level, I mean, one would be sort of talking about, completely untrusted or completely trusted. What if somehow you said some information can be affected a little bit by untrusted information? Or you could say, you know, somehow in a quantitative way, it's a little bit untrusted. And that's sort of weird because if it was like just a yes or no question, what does it mean to say it's a little bit untrusted?
But, well, I guess the Army is looking at total trust. They probably will not compromise on trust.
No, you can't
all
that total trust, right? I heard about a particular work at the UIUC that are actually building this trust network,
mm-hmm.
and not the PKI kind of network, but rather sort of they can analyze the network, it's a model and how trust is actually going to affect sort of the causal effect kind of chain kind of thing that how you actually, if you system compromised here, what are the sort of likelihood of being compromised that and sort of using this particular tool to sort of quantify the, how likely it is that your system compromise. So there is no sort of this is related. There's no, you know, black and white. I mean, there's no zero that is completely confined because you can't really say that, you know, every system has some kind of some kind of exploit possibly. But how can you say given, you know, all these systems are connected and all these things that have some cause and effect and how you actually can infer some degree of trustness and in this kind of systems.
Yeah.
And this is something I think the UIUC teams will going to explore. And because they are the people on this and Bill Sanders and my advisor David Nico, they've done some work in this. And there are other people in this sort of modeling part of it. And I know Don Halsey has been sort of wireless information flow wanting to use sort of a flow analysis, fluid flow analysis, those things. So I know they are doing modeling part. So we're not afraid of them because we are not on a completion path. It's just, you know, which one Army would like to pick.
Yeah.
You know, you want to pick the simulation emulation part of it or you want to sort of have a more math model because these guys are really good at it, modeling. But having said that, it does not necessarily mean that, you know, we can add value if we sort of have, you know, that's why it's sort of like pushing and see if there is likelihood, there is sort of added value that we can sort of say, look, we are doing this, but we are dealing sort of a hands-on the trust issues, in addition to those guys, the quality guys that are doing so much, sort of the network trust issues, but not really on the information side.
I don't really see why he would not want to propose something like information trust, because in the end you don't really care about the bits, you care about the information, right? Yes, the bits need to be secure, That's an underlying requirement, but you also require your information to be secure and untainted or tainted to a small extent, whatever it is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it seems like Jeff can provide some complementary agenda to the other work on secure communication.
Yeah, and also it's
and I see why we should not do that. I don't see why we should not do that. It seems relevant.
Yeah,
and it seems like Army might be interested.
And there is a sort of a kind of feeding each other. I like the matrix idea. I mean, not necessarily just we go after that, but you know, something that some kind of empirical, some you know, because there are guys doing application, there are guys doing ad hoc, you know, video multicast, all these sort of things. So there's going to be some from the application's point of view and from the you know network wireless network support point of view, and look at the information channel. So, you know, I'm not sure what are the metrics that you will be looking for, but that will be something. If you can use something and turn that around and say, well, I'm going to put some kind of analysis or quantifying framework on top of this, and being put some kind of, I'm not sure. And the better yet, it will turn it back, and so to guide the network in terms of the communication layer, how to sort of select among possible choices, that will be even better, right? So that will be the I guess the integration the Army would be very interested in looking at.
I don't have any other suggestions for it.
Not sure. Well,
okay. So for logistic wise, what do you guys think? I think the emulation part we had a failed proposal, so everything we can say about it and then twist it around.
Yeah.
And should be fine.
Yeah, except that we need to refashion it for
some
extent for wireless networks.
Rather than
that's
true.
Yeah.
And I guess for the particular nugget that we're writing, in the end, I mean I participated very large before, and basically the manager is going to take a look and say, okay, so we're going to do this, and I'm going to make a decision. This is an opportunity you can preach, you know, the ideas, and so that he will be able to see fit into the overall theme.
Uh-huh.
And after that, it's just a matter of small parts. We just need to fit in probably 2 pages, 3 pages, 5 pages. I don't know. Given the proportional to the, I guess, the budget size.
Sure.
You need to provide something.
Uh-huh. So, I guess the immediate concern is some sort of nuggets thing, right?
Some sort of the nuggets thing,
So I can certainly try to write down something for having to do with this trust business account.
Okay.
And confidentiality. I mean, you could talk about both,
well,
I guess, because
we
have
both. I mean, I think trust, you can say, encompasses all of that.
And for emulation simulation part, I will write up something, and so before the weekend, I will send it over to you.
Okay.
Review. And I guess somehow over the weekend we can put things together the next Monday.
Yeah.
You know.
But this is supposed to be quite small, right?
Yeah, it's quite small. So it doesn't matter. I guess they're not really, you know, limiting or how much we can say. I guess the idea is just put things there so that, you know, Shiv and others
have some idea what we are proposing.
Yeah, so what we are proposing and put things into their right place.
And to sort of mentally determine how these things fit together.
And the other thing is, I guess part of the next Wednesday discussion about the budget, because somehow, you know, 30 million divided by 10 is going to be, you know, 3 million. It's going to be a thing. You know, we have to put something about, you know, for example, equipment, right?
I think the key would be students and
students,
which
and
equipment you cannot, you know, spend too much money, especially computers. You cannot spend a lot of money.
But we do need some kind of emulation, sort of the stage, the stuff, and you know.
But still, I mean,
I don't know whether we needed to do that.
I mean, like a cluster
or an email and actually throw that thing out, and she's been asking. Exactly, you know, have a handle on the numbers and trying to get a handle on the numbers. I haven't actually come to that to you guys. I'm kind of thinking it's, you know, that's not really, well, it's far away.
I mean, and let's conservatively assume that if there is 3 million per year, then FIU probably gets, I don't know, maybe half a million or less than that. 300K, and so 300K is what? 300K is,
the,
I guess,
the kind of the budget.
Six students and some equipment, I guess, and well, or four students and summer salary and equipment. I think that would.
Right.
So. A student is what? A student is around. Tuition and stipend is about 30.
It's more than that.
When you have out the overhead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is a limitation on the overhead as well. So like, I forgot what the. I have to read that again. So
yeah.
There is a limitation on the overhead, but yeah.
Okay,
so
let's say
cheaper to actually.
Right. So if we say that instead of 300 we get 200 approximately. And each student is, let's say, 35,000, then we probably have, let's say, three students, summer salary, equipment.
I think summer salary is like 15K at most.
Yeah. That's around 1 month
or average, yes. And so 15K to 45K. 45K and 35K for each student.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
And the thing is that, yeah.
Well, actually, yeah, 35.
Yeah, you're right. The equipment is one time.
The equipment is one time.
You go out and you can't charge it every year.
Yeah, so we
also need to sit in a postdoc and place him or her.
Each student has to budget for a postdoc?
No, not necessarily.
Not sure.
But yeah. You know, that I'm just saying that if there are major development or something that we need to have a room somewhere there, that could be expected. I think the entire center expects to have two or three staff, you know, postdoc staff in our.
Right. So that wouldn't necessarily have to come.
Right. Yeah. So, but you know, I guess we just need to sort of have some ballpark numbers and figure out what are the ideas we can further explore. And because Wednesday is the time. Next Wednesday is probably the time that people discuss. Okay, so we can follow this because right after that, towards the end of the month, we're going to be writing, and everybody is going to write the first draft by the end of the month. And then sort of review and then sort of refine and by the almost the beginning of February, everything is settled because we'll see the industry final. You can't make further changes when you get to a state. And that's what that.
Okay, so I think budget then is straightforward. If we have, we know for sure we're getting, if we would get 300K per year, and with 40% overhead, that's 200K or 220,
whatever. The other question is, you think 300K is, we can definitely eat that up, or do we need to have another factor number to chip in at this stage, or, and see what's going on?
I think, with three students,
three is like, right.
Three faculty summers, I think that would be enough to use up 300K.
Unless
we see a faculty member with obvious connection and things to contribute, if you see someone,
then we don't have anybody yet. Unless the IT tool people are doing wireless.
How big are the groups from the other center, or are the other members? Are they bigger than ours?
Oh yeah. I think if you get the 6%, you know, cross that to 100%, and I think they have.
But they're taking bigger chunks of the pie.
Oh yeah. But we have to make sure that we are not proportionally smaller than the others, right? So we have to sort of make up something, right? So that it's not a proposal. People say, oh, you know, it's just because the 10% has to go there, but you really can't justify that 10% compared to the rest of the team, right?
Yeah.
So that's the concern, yes.
So if you think about, you know, 3 or 4 students, and that's already...
Total, you mean? Total.
Per year.
Total 3 or 4 students.
Yeah,
that's 100, it. 4 students is going to be 140.
Yeah, right. 140, and then let's say you have
45, 50.
Another 50K for summer salary,
right.
So that's 200 already,
yeah.
And then 20K for equipment. So I think in terms of covering for,
I think
the 300K, we can do
no,
that
thing,
without any...
No, it's not just about the budgeting. It's about that the amount of work you propose, right? So you have to fit it with the amount of work. You say, well, I'm not going to do this, but, you know, people say, oh, that's not really proportional as the number of, you know.
Yeah, I guess that can only be resolved once you know exactly all the items that we would like to propose, right? Which is still under discussion.
So maybe we should just put those things there and not necessarily, you know, I don't know what would be the better way, but I guess we can just put in obvious, you know, project one, project two, we're done. And that's what I'm a little bit afraid. And
uh-huh.
If that's the case, unless this is going to be, you know, project one or project two, is going to be the same, you know, each one, at least 5% of the,
you know,
average, it's going to be problematic. And if you will, I'd rather not be in that situation. But maybe there's need to develop, you know, some new ideas. You know, it's because it seems to me, for example, the team from the poly, they have several concrete ideas, or at least the sort of ideas shaping up and trying to address, you know, different issue application. Wireless and trust issues, and I guess fortunately we should at least aim a few at those. So I'm hoping that will be the case, but I really don't know exactly. You know.
Mm-hmm. So who else would be a good member of this? I was thinking about at some point Zisheng, but
That creates a lot of if Zisheng's here, I just don't want to deal with DC department that sort of thing. If he's here, I would be, you know, more than happy to really just to cross different. Making a lot more work for us to really go back and forth and try and get, you know, more signatures, a lot more signatures. Do this.
Well, I mean, the only other person that seems to be related then is Ming from
Ming?
The virtualization angle.
Who's this guy?
Is that you?
No, IT2.
How do you?
Yeah. You know, he's doing Mac, right? He's doing some kind of Mac layer. I'm not sure what it is.
I really don't know what he does, unfortunately.
He does some Mac,
no
Mac stuff. But do you think we should approach him, or do you think we should...
Well, maybe we can wait until we hear from what the other people are doing.
Okay. maybe we can just mention, we do have a wireless Mac people,
mm-hmm.
and you know, potentially can join. So it
depends
on, you know, depending on. We can just mention that because we give them more choices. That they're not really sort of thinking that we can't come up with enough stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. I mean, it would be nice if somehow these trust things could be tied in with this emulation stuff that you two are emphasizing.
Hmm.
I don't actually have a clear sense of that.
Yeah, that would require some brainstorming.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't see it's not obvious to me if there is a connection.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
So we can discuss during the day if something pop up, if you're in the shower or something.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I guess we are beyond.